beginning, who he was, what he does, how old he is, that kind of thing. And then
do you want me to talk as him or yeah, just for your reference?
Because I didn't know what you asked him. So you just tell me who he was, and then we'll go through his story.
He's a 20-year-old guy from Raqqa, yeah. And he's called Musa, which is Moses in Arabic. He's from Raqqa, and he works in a mall, in a bakery now for manouche, which is a traditional pastry in Lebanon.
And when did he get here?
And he's been here since 2007. But he can't go back because he's wanted for military service, mandatory military service, and he doesn't want to join the army.
Right.
He's a Sunni, and he's a conservative Sunni. So he believes in Sharia law. But he's not with Daesh or ISIS because he believes a lot of the things they do are not okay with Sharia. Like the Prophet didn't say you can kill people, except in times of war. So when you take a hostage and decapitate them, that's not okay for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he also doesn't believe people should be forced into it. Mm-hmm. So he believes, Muslim, he should go to the mosque and pray. He believes a woman should cover her head and, up to her sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
He's not, for example, with the burqa.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't believe people should be forced to do that. Because if it's forced, it doesn't mean anything. So he's maybe kind of a rare breed. You know, he's conservative Sunni, which sort of should agree with ISIS, but doesn't actually.
Mm-hmm.
Because he thinks that people should choose to follow Sharia law, not mm-hmm. be forced to. And he believes in Raqqa. He says that it was hard at first,
mm-hmm.
but that people eventually, if you want, were okay with it because they felt really oppressed by the Assad regime. So they had to practice, if you want, their conservative type of Islam in secret. They couldn't do it in public, or else they'd be harassed and, put in jail or picked up and disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels this is what happened when ISIS came back into power. They, chase people who smoke cigarettes or drink alcohol or, go out. So it's sort of like still being oppressed, but instead of by the regime, by Daesh. Mm-hmm. How he talks to his family, the regime has cut off all communication with Raqqa.
Mm-hmm.
But satellite, communication, for example, like mobile internet still does work. So he talks to his parents mainly with WhatsApp. His aunt was killed, and his brother's son, his nephew, which is the firstborn of that generation in his family, was also killed, and he couldn't go to the funerals there. So he's lost close people to himself. About if he thinks that it's going to end soon, he does. He says that every time he talks to, other Syrians, he feels that, and it's been long enough, and it's gonna get better soon.
Mm. But how does he think it's gonna end?
He just, it's more like optimism, if you want, which is, I don't want to say false optimism, but not really based on being well versed in what's happening in the politics and security.
Yeah.
More like, it'll end, to sort of cope with if you want, the bad situation here. Because at the end of the day, this is one of the people that can't go back to Syria.
Mm.
The last time he went was 2.5 years ago. What else did he say about what he said? For example, like electricity, food, etc., is not available. The only thing they still have is water, because the dam in Raqqa is still controlled by the regime. It's one of the few places in his area which is actually not under ISIS control there yet. So all they have is water.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about the coalition attacks, if he's worried about his parents being made bombs hit. He said they'd never really tell him, so he doesn't worry.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not sure if that's really affecting them.
Because mm-hmm.
when he calls them, he says everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And some members of family were flogged, were lashed as punishment at the beginning.
Right.
Before they sort of acclimatized to the ISIS rule.
Right.
And about his life in Lebanon, he says, people, they used to treat him better before the war in Syria. But he sort of also understood why some people might be mad, since, almost every business now has Syrians working in it, etc.
Yeah.
He understands how it... But he also knows that a lot of Lebanese people mean well and want to help and want to be nice. And he knows, you know, it's the majority of people who are nice, but it's the, you know, a small minority which is xenophobic and racist and mistreats people like him. That was it, basically. I tried to ask him all the things you usually ask. I think it's cool because he's a very conservative Sunni. Like, he doesn't, for example, say prophet without saying the part without it, which is peace be upon him.
Right.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every time he says Rasul, prophet, he has to say that.
Right.
So he's one of those people.
Yeah.
But he's not with IS.
Yeah.
And he was drinking beer and smoking.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.